Okay, so I was asked by Joshua to speak about learning loudly when it disturbs other people in base medrash. You know that guy that feels the need to like do his laning out loud that everyone in Gluck can hear? So we won't discuss that, whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, and whether you could tell him to be quiet. So we'll just start from Musa Haskell from Joshua. He's texting his very nice idea. He said, if you see the koyach of one person, he has the ability to distract entire base medrash of Gluck, and kol v'chomer, the ability a person has to be mashpia, the entire Gluck base medrash for good. So from Joshua's Adelstein. Okay, but let's get started. Okay, so let's start with tshuva of the Belzer Dayan, the Shevet HaKahasi. So he's dealing with the following case. So let's say a guy wants to take a base nap, and then someone wants to learn. He's going to wake up his friend taking a base nap. So the case was that some guy was trying to sleep in the base medrash, and then this other guy was trying to learn, and like the guy was able to go to sleep because this other guy wanted to learn. So the question is, does the guy who wanted to go to sleep have a taina on the guy who wants to learn or not? That's the question the Shevet HaKahasi dealt with. So he says like this. So the Gemara in Bava Basra and Afchav teaches that when it comes to a show, when it comes to a school, Tinoka Shabbos Arbon, we don't close down the school, even if it's going to wake people up, because it's more important that the children learn Torah, even if it means that people are not going to be able to sleep. So the Shevet HaKahasi says the same thing is true when it comes to a guy taking a base nap, that it's more important for people to be learning Torah, and even if it means someone's going to be woken up from their base nap, so therefore you're allowed to learn, even if it means that the guy who's trying to take his base nap, let's say his base nap's not happening anymore.
Is there an Indian though trying to be quiet and be mechabit the base nap?
Okay, yes, I guess. Yeah, so since I haven't found the sefer yet, if anyone here is interested in writing a sefer, base nap kehilchasa. I don't think it's been published yet, but yeah. So maybe let's discuss this. So first of all, there's different types of base naps. So let's discuss the you know the base map where the guy like takes his gemara and like uses it as a pillow. Oh. you know what I'm talking about.
I actually liked it.
Yeah, so let's discuss. So let's say you see a guy like using his gemara for a pillow. So should you wake the guy up because he's being disgracing the kedusha sesvarim or not? So this is it's a big machlokes in postgame. So Reb Chaim Volozhin had a Talmud who wrote a sefer called Mincha Kedusha, Kedusha Mincha, something like that. So in the Hakdama to the sefer, he says if you see someone falling asleep over on the sefer, you should wake him up because there's a kedusha as a sefer. He's disgracing the kedusha of a sefer, and wake the guy up from his nap. However, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonfeld in his Chos Chuvas Samas Chaim, so he says that if a guy is sleeping on a sefer, you don't have to wake him up. There's not actual. He doesn't think there's like an actual iser to sleep on a sefer. So therefore, if you find a guy who's asleep on the sefer, you don't have to wake him up. Now, with that being said, it's not ideal for a person to take like a gemara and like use it for a pillow. Like if a person has to go sleep in the base medrash, like it's not like you don't have to like, get yourself comfortable. Like you can sleep, you can put your head down on the table itself. It's not like you need.
Also, to take a sefer dafka for this.
Yeah, no, it is. It is.
No, it's just, you're saying it's only if you're already learning and then now you're.
If a person there, put this way, a person can go sleep in the base. A person shouldn't go to sleep. It's not. It's not supposed to be your bedroom. Yeah, so it's a good point. Yeah, I think from Goldrich, what are you telling from Goldrich?
Goldrich said you could fall asleep in the base, we don't go to sleep in the base.
Yeah, so Chilla, because you know those guys who like put their jackets over like for a blank, or like during COVID when people redesignated their face masks for like eye masks for base naps like that. Pastors, you probably shouldn't be doing that. Okay, anyway. What? Okay, could be. I'm sure. Okay. Anyway. So back to our discussion here. So Shiva Kosi passing. Someone wants to take a base nap. Then you can't. You're allowed to wake them up if you want to learn because learning is more important than the guy's nap. Now the sefer Torsi Yeshiva, which is a halacha sefer, yeshiva related halacha. So he deals with the following case. Let's say a yeshiva. I don't know which yeshiva had this, but some yeshiva decided to have like a napping seder. It was like morning seder and an afternoon seder, and then in between the two storms, they had like optional nap time in the base medrash. What? It could be. I don't know. So he said, let's say you have a yeshiva that wants to, like, during Ben Astarim, so it's like optional nap time during in the base medrash. So can you tell people to be quiet then? So he says, if that's the case, so he brings from a river of time that if yeshiva has a nap seder, then you're not allowed to wake someone up during that time, because it's part of like the official rules of the yeshiva that you're allowed to be sleeping during that time.
Like going to sleep instead of falling.
No, so that's part of the rule. Oh, so actually also in the Sefer Torah Yeshiva, so he says, let's say a guy is like really stark and like he's, let's say his dorm room is 5 minutes away. So like he doesn't want to waste any time walking back to his dorm and going to bed. So he's like, okay, I'm going to save some time, so I'm just going to sleep in the base manager. So can you do that or not? The Torah Yeshiva says it's okay, because the Gemara Megillah says that base manager is considered to be the Bais V'Tamei Chachamim. So therefore, they're allowed to sleep in it. And included in that is sleeping in the Beis Medrash. So he says if a person wants to save time from learning Torah by sleeping in the Beis Medrash, then you're allowed to.
Yeah, isn't that what they used to do in Europe all the time? Before the modern new version of yeshivas with dorms, they used to, a lot of times they'd sleep on the benches in the Beis Medrash.
Yeah, but again, that there's different levels of this. Like, for example, like one time I was talking to a guy, so he told me, like, how's he determine, like, you know, different people have, like, different ways of determining where to daven, like, in a certain minyan or not? So this guy, the way he determined where he should daven was like whether he needed a nap. So like there's like a particular rav that used to put him to sleep. It's like if he needed like a nap in the middle of davening, so, like this is the place to go to. So like that's not our mahalach. Like that's not that should not be where we choose to daven or to learn. But that being said, I'll just add from Rav Neuberger from Neisal. So Rav Neuberger from Neisal says if a yid doesn't fall asleep during Kabbalah Shabbos, then you know you haven't done enough for Klai Yisal that week. So I told that to one of my friends once. They said, yeah, that's why he's very makpid to always fall asleep during the Rav's Joshua during Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, so let's discuss, I guess, cases of waking. First, we'll discuss cases of people waking people up in the middle of the night by learning, and then we'll discuss, like, cases, like, during the daytime of people knowing other people through their learning. So the question a lot of posts can deal with is, let's say you have a basement. Let's say a person wants to learn at night, and by you learning, you're going to be waking up all the neighbors around you. So, are you allowed to learn, or do you have to quiet yourself? So, there's different shitas in posting. So, we'll start the most extreme shita, which is that of Menashe Klein. If Menashe Klein has a tshuva about this, so Menashe Klein said that if a person is learning, not only are the people who are sleeping, they don't even have a taina against them. You're allowed to learn, and you can wake people up as much as you want. He says not even that. He says maybe it's a good thing because you're getting them to learn. It's like if you get them to learn as well, for you learning by waking them up. So he says it's a good thing. So Menashe Klein says if you by learning you're waking people up. He says no time is even in the middle of the night. So again, it's more of a Bnei Brak problem or whatever. When you got like every house is like a basement edition, like right next like. But okay, in America it's not gonna be such an issue if the houses are far spread apart. That's Menashe Klein's opinion. The Chazon Ish also, and Orchos Rabbeinu Chaim Kineski brought from his uncle, the Chazon Ish, that there was some guy that went to sleep. Some guy was learning loudly at night, and his neighbors were upset that he was waking him up. So the Chazon Ish passed him that since Gezel Shena is not a real halacha, it's just an idea of the Balei Musar. And the Gemara in Erevin, Daphne, and Dao teaches you should learn aloud, so the halacha overrides the Musar concept. So therefore, if you're going to wake people up by you learning, he says that it's not a problem. And that the neighbors have no time is against the guy who was learning loudly. Yeah.
It's the same case.
No, school children might be different. School children learning, the Gemara says, is much more preferable than an adult learning. So, could be there's a chiluk.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know.
And also, there you go.
It's also unclear what the case is. Like, the Chazon Ish is dealing with a very specific case. It's unclear like what the parameters of that case are. It could be like the Chazon Ish gave like a one-time heter. Yeah, so actually, Menashe Klein is his heter. So Menashe Klein cites the Gemara. And the Gemara in Erevin Daf Yud Ches says that any house that you don't hear learning from Torah in at night is right to be burnt. So he said that look, if you're learning, you're saving people from being burnt. So either have and Menashe Klein another tshuva. He has another wild tshuva. So he says like this: the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph teaches that when tzaddikim sleep, it's bad for the world, versus when rishayim sleep, it's good for the world. So Menashe Klein says, yeah, if you're going to be waking up tzaddikim, so maybe you're doing a good thing because you're doing good things to the world because you're causing the tzaddikim to not be sleeping. it's very difficult, very, very difficult, Juvo.
What was Gemara
in Erevin? No, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nundal, says that person should learn out loud. So therefore, it's halacha. It's real halacha. Okay, but anyway, so that was the opinion of the Chazon Ish, but a lot of posts can disagree. Yeah.
Is the Gemara in Erevin just saying, like, not to
Yeah.
Why is that a reason to scream?
Why is that reason to scream? So let's discuss. Is there a good reason to scream when you're learning or not? So they quote from in the Sefer Zichron Shmuel. They quote from Shmuel Verzovsky. So he says like this: when a person learns Torah, he's learning Torah as if he received it from Har Sinai. Now Har Sinai received the Torah b'kol sivrakim. So therefore, when a person learns, you're supposed to be learning with kol sivrakim. So in the Sefer Torah Se Yeshiva, he quotes Machlokas and Poskim. So you know, like Yeshiva Bachim, they clap and like make all sorts of noises when they learn. So is that a good idea or a bad idea? So he quotes from the Arizal. Apparently, the Arizal said that when you clap, the Arizal used to clap when he learned because he'd like bang out klipos. So the Sefer Yosef Elman says, yeah, even though we don't have the kavans of the Arizal, but like Maisa, like we're still banging out the klipos, so like a person should make a lot of noise when he learns. Then he quotes the comment of Shmuel Rozovsky, the one when you learn, you're learning as if it's given at Har Sinai. So if you should learn the kolos of Brokim, make as much noise as possible. Or, I mean, he doesn't say make as much noise, but like you should learn with a lot of geschmack. I heard today, someone told me that in the Chevron Yeshiva, Rav Nata Greenblatt one time was so excited by his learning that he made a hole in the Beis Medrash. He made a hole in the Beis Medrash, like to have that hole there to like show like how excited someone can get by learning there. Like, he's able to make a hole in the Beis Medrash. What?
Okay.
That happens in Moko a lot.
Yeah?
On the floors.
Yeah, it's probably for different reasons though than nothing Greenblatt. Yeah. Okay.
That's real rowdy.
What? Okay. Now, but the quote from the Chavos Yari says no. He says it's a bad thing. He said yeshiva when the guys make so much noise, they came to hear the chavrusa. So Yotzus Chavir says he says it's a bad thing. He said, oh, you're gonna bring a ride from that Arizal? Well, the Arizal was a big tzaddik, who had all sorts of kavanot at the Arizal. So Chavos Yari is really not into the yeshiva guys making all sorts of noises when they learn. That wasn't the mahalach of the Arizal. That wasn't the mahalach of the Chavos Yari. Okay, but anyway, so who argues with Menashe Klein? So Menashe Klein had a big back and forth with Shevet Halevi. Shevet Halevi was not happy with Menashe Klein about his psak. You know, I had to wake someone up in the middle of the night when learning. He says, no, you shouldn't wake someone up because there's a mitzvah hafter kamocha. Person's capable of learning not so loud, so why should you learn super loudly and wake other people up when you can learn just as easily not waking other people up? So that was the psak of the Shevet Halevi. And most of the posting do agree with the Shevet Halevi on this. They do not recommend. Person should not learn very loudly at night, waking with the intent of even not with the intent of waking people up, a person should try to learn it with a volume that doesn't cause people to be woken up through their learning.
There's a nice with the Rebbe Eliashiv they had very thin walls between him and his neighbors. He used to learn. He got up at 2:30 a.m. to learn.
Yeah.
And one day his neighbor knocks on his door, or someone else, I don't know exactly, he knocks on his door and said, "Can you please learn a little quieter? It's waking me, it's disturbing my sleep." So then from then on, so he said, okay, well, so he started learning quieter, but anytime anyone asked about a shidduch with this person started, he said he doesn't love Torah, so he passed people asked him.
Okay, so that's in terms of learning, waking people up. What about other mitzvahs in terms of waking people up? Let's discuss a few other cases that I found in postkins. So someone asked if Nissan Carroll, so you know those guys like in the name back Misharm? Have like those loudspeakers going around. You know what I'm talking about? Like the guys are like, burn your iPhone if you want to go Olam Haba. Like, you know, so someone asked him, need some Kerelitz. Like in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m., can he go around with his loudspeaker, NAPRAC, and blast all the stuff? So if need some Kerelitz, is like, you don't understand the Shiloh. Like, yeah, obviously it's a problem because of the hafter kamocha. So, yeah, that was not, that Rav Nissen Carl did not go for that at all. And they, what? So, in the Yitzchak Zilberstein of Shiloh in Alein L'Sheberach, he says, let's say you have a Sheva brachos that's going really late into the night. Are you able to make the bracha b'simcha b'mo'ono? Because there's no simcha when you're waking other people up from their sleep. So he's not sure whether you're allowed to make the bracha b'simcha b'mo'ono if you're going very late into the night. Rav Avadia has a whole discussion in his sefer, Chazon Avadia and Hilchos Sukkah. Is a person allowed to build the sukkah late at night? A person, right, the Shulchan Aruch says a person should start building a sukkah right after Yom Kippur. So let's say some guy's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to build until the last nail's in. At like 3 a.m., like he's going until like 2 a.m. So should a person try to be makbid to finish building their entire sukkah late Motzei Yom Kippur, even until it's waking up all your neighbors, or not? So Rav Avadia is pretty adamant that it's also to do. Then his sons, and one of the sons quote that Rav Avadi, not only that, when Rav Avadi was on airplanes, Rav Avadi did not daven with minyanim on airplanes because he said that you can't wake other people up who are trying to sleep. There's no chiyuv to daven with a minyan. There's definitely a chiyuv not to annoy other Jews. So Rav Avadi Yosef would not daven with airplane minyanim. So how's Rav Avadi Shita about that?
Is it mutter? Let's say you have like a shul or something like that, and they're blasting the Simchas Beis Shoyim, for example.
Yeah.
Very loud music, and it's preventing people from sleeping in their sukkahs.
No,
permitted for them to blast their music?
No, Rav Yashid had the following case. There's a guy, like, you know they have Tehillim groups? So some guy is like, okay, some guy wanted to form a 2 a.m. Tehillim group. Like, and Rav Yashid was like, yeah, obviously, this is awesome. Like, he wanted to form a 2 a.m. Tehillim group, and the show is going to wake up all the neighbors. Like, you can't do that. Like, you can't try to be Mekayim Mitzvah when it's just going, and there's, even when it comes to Simchas Beis Hashoev, there's no kiyum and hiddur going all hours of the night.
No, but
the entire town is doing like I'm not sure like everyone's like
yeah. Yeah, I know. I like the joke. You know what they call New York City the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
It's not true, but they actually say it never sleeps. So you got the Chatzos Kola, the Tikkun Chatzos Kola,
yeah.
In the morning. Yeah. No, look, Pashas people are allowed to sleep. And also, the post can point out that the Yeshiva Levi and Chazon Ish point out if a person's sick, then they need their sleep. You have no right to wake them up from their sleep because you want to be doing whatever.
Even though the entire town is doing it, it's hard to.
No, but not the entire, not everyone's doing it.
No, but let's say there's three or four base medrashes that are doing it. So your doing it is not necessarily adding that much.
I don't know. It's a good question.
I said cash no.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do, though.
Yeah.
What's the hour the post can give? So in the Sefer Pesachei Choshen, which was written by Rav Bloy, so in the 15th chapter of his Sefer on Genevus, he discusses all these halachos. So he says that he quotes from some Sefer, past 11 a.m., no noise. 11 p.m. 11 p.m. is like the latest hour in terms of making noise.
Floor is 11:45.
Yeah,
to get
that. Yeah, guys, maybe you have to hang up this. Yeah, Pesachei Choshen. So the same put picture of this page of the Pesachei Choshen. Zilbushin also passing is 11 p.m. It's still Shabbat brachos cannot go longer than 11 p.m.
What about the earliest in the morning? Like a honking if you're doing carpool, and you're gonna wake up people.
I don't know, the posting won't give, I guess it depends where you are. Like, in some certain circles, you get enough for Vasik, and in other circles, like, Shachris is, like, at 11 a.m., like, so, I don't know.
I think there are legal construction rules about that.
Yeah.
In places. I think some of them are
8 a.m. 8 a.m.? Probably depends where it's the weekend, weekday, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, bottom line, post to say you should try not to wake up your neighbors by doing your various mitzvahs. Okay, so that's in terms of waking people up. So let's discuss now Joshua's case of the guy. So are you allowed to be that annoying guy who's distracting other people learning the Beis Medrash? So Yitzhak Zilberstein held the following shaila. He had a few different of the variations of the following shaila. There was some guy who was learning in the kollel, and he felt the need to scream his Gemara, and the reason why is because he barely got any sleep at night, and the only way he's able to stay awake was when he screamed his learning. So half the guys in the kollel thought that this was great. This is like the adding to the kol Torah. Never half of the guys in the kollel were like, this guy is super distracting. So they brought the shaita to Rosh Kollel. Rosh Kollel sent the shaita to Yitzhak Zilberstein. So what do you do about the guy who, and the problem was that this guy tried learning at like a normal decibel volume, like he tried learning at normal volume, like he fell asleep. So like he wasn't able to learn.
He just can't be close to a normal time.
What?
Like, he's going to sleep at normal time.
I have no idea. Like this guy's not able to learn at normal volume, like he's only able to learn at loud volumes. So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Paskin, so he said, so best thing to do is if you get all the guys who like to hear him, so put them right next to him. All the guys who don't like to hear him, put them on the other side of the room. But if that's not going to work out, and it's still going to bother the people who don't like to hear him, so then you're going to have to kick this guy out, because like, he doesn't have the right to distract the entire base medrash with his loud learning, and it's going to detract from everyone else's learning. That was his psak. Now, he dealt with another case where he dealt with some chabura, and the best guy in the chabura was the loudest guy. Like, the guy who liked to scream his learning, So like half the like some of the chabur. So the guy wanted the taina that he'd be allowed to learn loudly because this is what was doing best for his learning, his own personal learning. But everyone else in the chabur was like suffering from this one guy who like felt the need to shout out his learning. So the question: who wins? The guy who feels the need to scream, or like everyone else in the chabur? So Yitzchak Zilberstein left as a tzarchiyun because he said, right, we said earlier from the Chazon Ish that the guy who was learning late in the middle of the night was allowed to, even if he was going to wake up bother the neighbors. So Yitzchak Zilberstein said maybe that's the same thing here. That the guy who's learning really loudly is allowed to learn really, really loudly, even to go annoy other people. So he left as a tzarchiyun at the end of the day.
Why is that different than the first case?
Why is that? I don't know. I wasn't sure if Yitzchak Zilberstein passed one thing in one case and another thing in another case. I don't know. Maybe he's choyzer? I don't know. Yeah. It's not whether one guy's Talmud Torah is more important than the other. The person is whether the other people have any right to tell him no. Is he doing anything wrong? I'm saying, well let's say...
If it's either him learning or they're going to learn. Like, they can't both learn well.
No, if he's allowed to learn this way, then he's not doing it.
There's two questions. The question is whether this guy should be doing it. Okay, so posting said if you have to chakamochu, he definitely probably shouldn't be doing it. But regardless of whether he should be doing it, is he allowed to do it or not?
No, I'm saying that him doing it is by construction.
I'm saying you're allowed to do anything within you. You're halachically allowed to. If you're halachically allowed to do it, so like, you're not doing anything wrong. You're not causing them not to learn. Like they're the ones that are choosing to be bothered by it.
It's a choice to be bothered by someone.
I mean, if you're doing something, like the cause of, it's not necessarily whether it's a choice to be bothered by someone. But if someone's allowed to do something, you can't. Let's take the phone case. The chazan shel the phone case. Let's say. You live in an apartment, and like someone's baby is like crying in the middle of the night. So you have to get upset at the neighbors for the baby crying in the middle of the night. So Chazon Ish says no. Like people are allowed to like do normal activities. Like if a person is allowed to, a baby's allowed to cry in the middle of the night, and the neighbors don't have any right to tell the baby not to cry because like that's part of normal functioning of daily life. So the question is whether the same is true when it comes to learning. So it seems, yeah, it definitely seems. It seems across the board, all the posts can agree that if a person's learning in a normal volume, then you don't have the right to tell him that he's doing anything wrong. Because that's like considered to be normal.
Even if the rest of the base measures are silent?
Yeah, you know, even the rest of the base measures are silent. That's considered to be normal way. That's considered to be normal way of learning. That's considered to be normal usage. It's hard. Yeah, anyway, you could tell me, Mitzad, if you have to chamochu, you shouldn't do it. But at the end of the day, he's not doing anything wrong. It's hard to say he's doing something else here. So you can ask him to be quiet, but it's hard to say he actually has to listen to you.
Does this apply to people schmoozing? Meaning they're not doing a base manager. Technically, it's also in the base manager to like be schmoozing. Yeah. Let's say they're schmoozing and learning. They're not schmoozing and learning. They're like talking about like rabbish and mices. They're trying to learn and they're distracting with their rabbish and mices. Are you allowed to tell them to be quiet? If they're not doing anything wild, it's technically...
The question is whether they have to listen to you or not. You can tell anyone anything.
Yeah.
The question is whether they're obligated to listen. If someone's speaking in the normal volume, it's hard to say that they're doing anything wrong.
Even if it's non... Let's say it's non-Torah related. Really.
So that you can tell because they're not supposed to be doing that.
If they're talking like someone...
Yeah, if some person's practicing his laning and whatever, it's annoying. You're like, they're not doing anything wrong. So maybe you should learn your Gemara is louder than him to...
Yeah, sure.
It's hard to ask it. Yeah.
But it sounds like, so according to Rav Avadya then, so Gezel Shana is like... Shana's Gezel isn't like... So what's the mucker for sleep being valuable?
Yeah.
To whatever extent, it seems to be from Valdelecha Kamocha.
Yeah.
It has some, like, no, but I'm saying that it has some, like, to the extent that you would be able to have some taina.
Yeah, let's discuss this quickly. What's the problem? Is Gezel Shein a real thing or not? So the first time I think Gezel Shein is quoted any safer, it's like a time of Yisrael Salanter. So it doesn't have old Mikaros. So the question is there any problem of Gezel? What's the halachic Isser when it comes to Gezel Shein? So there's a few different opinions in Poskim. So the first opinion, which is almost all rejected by almost all Poskim, is actually considered to be Gezel, or if not, Shekline is a wild Chiddush. It's been rejected by almost everyone. He says, what's the main problem when a person steals? What's the main problem that you're doing? You're causing a person sorrow. You're causing them pain. So he says, well, when you wake a person up from their sleep, you're also causing them pain. So therefore, he thinks it's considered to be halacha gezel. Yeah.
The only time it's actually usher to wake someone is if it's your parent, right? Like, in terms of...
Yeah. Or if someone's sick or whatever, also.
Those are the only cases where actually discusses if you shouldn't wake someone sick.
Yeah, yeah, and postings got sick people and yeah, and parents. Yeah, in no, so okay, but the Ken Ludovic, who's the Satmar dying before the war, so he thinks that he raises two potential problems if we're waking someone up. So he says maybe it's a problem of Onos Dvarim. Because if when you call your friend a nickname, you're causing him pain, and that's prohibited. So Kal Vachomer, when you cause your friend to wake him up, right, you're causing him pain, so that's going to be prohibited. Then he says maybe it's a problem of Tzar Bal Chaim. Because there's a Rashba who says that there's a din of prika and tina when it comes to human, when it comes to, it makes a kal v'chomer. If when you see an animal suffering from its burden, there's a chiyuv to help him with his load, it's a kal v'chomer. When you see a human being suffering from his load, you're obligated to help him. So therefore, he thinks that it could be there's a problem tzar bal chaim when you wake a person up from their nap. Or
maybe that's only if it's a yid. Because it's my chalik is a person who's tzar bal chaim applies to yidin and goyim or just yidin.
Okay, could be.
And Rabbi Nachman says you should turn yourself into a behemoth for Tyra.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Well, this was our duff, though.
Yeah, I know, I mean, it's, yeah, most posting reject. Most posting seem the problem of waking someone up from their sleep is the problem of, it's a bit of v'yahavta yecha kamocha.
Some of my friend asks me to wake him, and I don't because of
Nostra. No, then you definitely should wake him. Yeah,
yeah. According to Tzar Bal Chaim, we're Nostra.
No, so you can be mocha on your tzai.
On Nostra.
No, I'm saying it doesn't bother you. That's not considered to be Onos Dvarim. I'm saying, you asked me to call your nickname, so that's considered to be Onos Dvarim.
No, but I thought you were talking about the objective pain someone feels when waking up, like the discomfort, that feeling stuff, discomfort.
Yeah, but he's Michael on it. He's Michael.
No, but they call it, the Chofetz Chaim had a case of Rechon and Wasserman. So in Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva, so the Rosh Yeshiva, Chofetz Chaim wasn't, there's like another Rosh Yeshiva, so the Rosh Yeshiva of Chofetz Chaim's yeshiva asked Rav Chon Wasserman to get him when they're going to do Kish Lavana. So Rav Chon Wasserman walked into his study, Rosh Yeshiva's study, and he saw him asleep. Like, he was asleep at the table. So he didn't know what to do. Should he wake him up in order to get him to go do Kish Lavana with everyone else? Because he asked him to get him when they're going to do Kish Lavana, should he not? So he went to ask the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim said, you can't wake him up. You can't wake up another Jew asleep. So Rav Chon Wasserman said, no, you see the value of not annoying. You see the value of not annoying another Jew who's trying to sleep. You can't wake up. You can't wake someone else up who's trying to sleep. And instead of Rav Chanan's yeshiva, there was Rav Chanan's biography to bring down. When yeshiva bachrim slept past the time for shachris, he'd only wake them up for barchu. He didn't. He let them sleep for pesukah zimra and for karbonos. He didn't feel that was important enough. Okay. Good. Davening out loud. Should we discuss davening out loud? Okay. So is it a good idea or a bad idea to daven out loud? So. Yeah. 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 So no, if something's really loud, if you're going, you shouldn't do it. If you're going to wake someone up, you shouldn't. You should try not to do it. Yeah. You shouldn't. You shouldn't wake people up when you practice. Okay. So let's discuss davening out loud. So okay, the Gemara only prohibits. The Gemara says that there's a specific drasha a person should daven Shmoneh Esrei quietly. Gemara Brachos says that and learns that from Chana. So the question is, what about comes to other parts of davening? So El Yerabba says, you see from there, the other parts of davening you're supposed to say out loud. And he quotes the Ramban al Torah and Precious Bo that the purpose of all mitzvos is that we're all moded to Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'kol ram. So El Yerabba thinks that the rest of davening we should be doing out loud. And the minog in Europe in a lot of places that they used to do almost all of davening out loud except for Shmoneh Esrei. And the Munkacher Rebbe has a tshuva, Minchos Elazar. He thinks that he's choshesh someone for being an apikoros if they don't do Pesukah D'Zimra out loud, because he says, "What's pshat?" In the church they say they pray silently. So the Munkacher felt that maybe he's concerned that people apikoros started. Coming into class so that they're convincing people to say Pesukah D'Zimra quietly, not out loud together. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that the person should say Pesukah D'Zimra quietly. He says you don't need to do B'kol Ram. Kol Shmarchu understands he listens to feels even when you do it silently. So most Ashkenazi places, we follow the Mishnah Berurah, so we don't do it out loud. But if you go to like a nice Chassidus shtibul, they'll follow the old European minhag of davening out loud in order to be. Chazak, in order to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu together.
But what about dialing like slightly loudly? Like, what's the hagdara of dialing loud, super loud, or like medium?
Yeah, so again, you shouldn't do anything that annoys someone else. Like, you shouldn't. Like, you know that guy, like, you know when you're dabbing, like, do you feel like, you know that guy, like, always feels the need, like, everyone else should hear the sick of the Zimmer, because, I don't know why he wants to, but, like, he feels that everyone else should hear the sick. Yeah, so, like, Pashu, you shouldn't be that guy, but.
No, but, sometimes you go to, like, these early minyanim, everyone's, like, half asleep anyway, so, like, you want to be the classic dharma, be the star of them. Would that be permitted or prohibited?
No, technically it's permitted. I'm saying halachically the Gemara says you can't daven Shmoneh Esrei out loud. So the rest of davening you can daven. It's not also daven the rest of it out loud. The question is whether a person should or should not. So like if you're the only guy doing it, so it's like why are you the only guy doing it? Yeah. Now in terms of davening on planes, we'll just discuss this for a second. So is it a good idea or a bad idea to daven on planes? So many Gedolim are not fans of this plain minyan. Rav Avadya Yosef, Moshe Feinstein, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Sheva Levi, and the list goes on. They're not into plain minyanim. Look, you have no chiyuv to daven b'tzibur. By davening with a tzibur, you're just going to be creating a ruckus for everyone on the plane. You're not doing any good. And, like, one time I was hearing like some guy like was like during the middle of Elul, so like you want to get a shofar to wake to you want to be kind of minog blowing shofar in the middle of Elul. That's not a good idea. Like you don't need to wake up the entire. You don't need to wake up the entire plane for your for davening. Rav Yisrael Reisman, the quote from Yisrael Reisman in the Rosh Hashiva Torah Vadas, and he says, no, you should do minions on planes because you should show Jews everywhere that you should always be davening for minion. That even when you're not in shul, Klal Yisrael still makes it wherever a Jew is, he always needs to be with a minion. So he thinks plane minyanim are a good thing. So if a person is ever in a suffix where they should or should not join the plane minyanim, I'm not telling them what to do. Like, at least you should know that Rav Yisrael Reisman says that plane minyanim are a good thing. Okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tachlis about someone who's learning loudly.
Oh, okay. So if a guy, if you're doing Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein's case where the guy is like screaming at the top of his lungs, so then that's Pashtus. So he's changing, he's being Mishana from the Minog, so he's doing something wrong. So if he's really bothering you, you have a tine against him, and you shouldn't. If he's learning, if someone's learning in the normal volume, even if
the base is like pretty empty,
it's hard to say he's doing anything wrong. He's treating the base merger shift to he's not behaving in abnormal. Either you, everyone else is behaving abnormally because they should be learning loudly.
What about like the people that sing in there, like the middle? They'll like sing like random nigunim, like in the middle of like a little bit, like have a little kumzitz in the middle of.
I'll tell you my one time I was in high school. I didn't go to Yeshiva Greater Washington, but one time I was learning in Yeshiva Greater Washington. It was me and like the principal of the high school, like maybe one of the principal of the high school was David Katzenstein, a big tzaddik from Borough Park. So I asked him whether it would distract him from his learning if I had to learn out loud. So he told me no. He's like shocked by the question. He's like, "What? It's music to my ears." He didn't understand the question. So that should be our attitude when you hear that, when you hear someone learn really loudly. It should be music. It shouldn't be that he's disturbing you. No, but at the end of the day, if a person really is learning loudly, it's bothering you. You can ask him to be quiet. It's hard to say that he actually has to be. It's hard to say he actually. Halachically, really has to be silent because, like, the base message is meant to be. Right, it's meant to be loud. It's meant to be the coolest of rock. Now, that being said, right, if you're in that yeshiva that has like napping seder, so like okay, so if it's like napping seder, so probably you shouldn't be learning out loud. But other than that, it's hard to say that the guy has to be quiet.
Well, let's say you're not in a basement. Let's say you're like, you're waiting in the doctor's office from doctor. You're learning that loud, and there's a guy next to you.
Someone was telling me, apparently, the Stechan was a discussion. It was like, you start like learning out loud in like the middle of the street or whatever. Like, you cause all sorts of attention. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see the Stechan inside, though. Yeah.
Similar question with davening. Has anybody discussed if you pronounce things correctly when the people around you don't?
What do you mean?
You mean, like, people around you are
It might bother them
if you're pronouncing correctly. It's going to bother them. They're doing the right thing. They have no
Chinese against you. No, if you're pronouncing it right, then you're doing the right thing. What are you doing wrong?
No, like, similar thing. Like, when you dive in louder than other people, so it will bother them. So, too,
Like, if you're behaving properly, it's hard to say you're doing something wrong.
What about that one guy saying you're wrong? Do you have a tie against him?
Okay, you could come up to him also, like, big, you could tell him, come to him after davening, so this is what you should do.
Wait,
I don't know.
Everybody's singing Lecha Dodi, and you're saying Lecha
Dodi. Okay, enough of that. So you're doing the right thing. A lot of times people pronounce all sorts of words in davening. Like, it's like, you know, when they teach you in kindergarten, Moda Ani Lecha, like, that's wrong. Like, but... Chemo Rabba, exactly. It's Chemo Rabba Munasecha. So, like, okay, like, people are doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. Like, but, yeah, I don't know. Okay, any last questions? Okay, so we should be Mechazik the Olam with the right vibes or whatever. We shouldn't.
Placing a
Chayram
on anyone who lands
Shnai Mechram. Yeah, hard to. So yeah, people should learn of Kolos and Brachim as if we received the Torah at Har Sinai, and we should try not to disturb other people of Klai Yisrael if they don't want to be disturbed. Okay.